third chapter will be next week of Contemplative, and if you want to read ahead, we're going to do the fourth chapter the week after, and that is called The Week Before Easter. It just happens to dovetail very nicely. The third chapter is next week, but we're going to have to do a pretty thorough grounding next week on the marriage of Mary and Joseph. No matter what happens today, there is one thing you can be sure of, and that is God will be here. When you are aware of this with assurance, then you're not going to be concerned what happens today. It's only when you're not assured that God is here and will be here that you're concerned. And most of us have not taken the time to abide in that truth long enough to know it, in spite of what may appear. This day, only the activity of God can happen because God is all. And I can therefore look at that which is not the activity of God, realizing that it is a changing concept seen by a changing concept. And I'm stepping out from under the image of a changing concept. Now, you may think you're expressing God qualities in some way. You may feel that these are the qualities you're sending out. I have found it's necessary to see the image of form in a different way. I have to see that all of the invisible qualities of God are forming the appearance that I have, the concept that I have of myself is based on my incorrect perception of all the qualities of God that are present. You might say that all of the universe is shining its qualities through itself, and out of it I form this feeling about me, and that appears as me. You form your feeling about you, and that appears as you. But the infinite and perfect qualities are all there, even though you have not the capacity to be aware of them. And so you form a concept of those qualities which now appears in form as you. That concept about the divine qualities doesn't change the divine qualities. They are there and they are perfect. It is your concept that must change. And the highest concept you can have is no concept. Because when that is out of the way, the divine qualities express themselves where you are, without the interference of your concept. And then the image changes to conform to the divine qualities which are self-expressing. And so when you are willing to accept that only divine qualities surround you, that God is those divine qualities, you will then back up your awareness with resting in that presence with the knowledge that all that I appear to be here now is but a limited mental concept I have entertained, and the reality of me is the allness of God which is invisibly present. All that the Father hath is mine here now. And now let that grace perform. Stop trying to live God's life. Let God live God's life. And so step out from under the image you have created of yourself, accepting God's presence as the true identity of being, accepting that every quality of God is the true quality present, and then behold how those qualities, in the absence of concept, become the expression of being made visible. And you have the secret, the miracle of the God experience continuing as a permanent dispensation. Nothing has been withheld. We have been accusing God of withholding my health, my supply. It isn't true. You have no health, you have no supply. God has it all. And God is expressing it all as the illness of your being. And the only way you can have that health is to remove your concept of human health that is both good and bad, or your concept of supply that is both good and bad, and realize God is here, and God is my supply. God is here, and God is my health. God is here, and God is my allness. Deny it and lose it. Accept it and watch it express. And so more and more, you're willing to release every concept about lack or limitation, health or supply, relationships, conditions, in the realization that those aren't the things that are really here. Those are but my concepts about what is here. What is here doesn't change. God isn't changing. And God is here. And nothing can change the expression of God here. I can merely entertain a wrong concept about it. There's no reason then why, when you have abandoned your concept of self, which is the one remaining concept which contains all other concepts, when you abandon your concept of self, then only one is left on the field, and that is God. And right where you are, you discover living grace. And you didn't have to take care of any problem at all. You had to come over the belief, the concept you entertained about the absence of qualities of God, which never were absent. Do you see why you're self-sustaining? Totally self-sustaining. This form is but your concept, and right behind it are all of the perfect qualities of the Infinite Father expressing. Remove the concept in the stillness. And watch. The divine recipe manifests itself as a continuing flow of perfection. There's nobody who has traveled this far who can't find the way to do that. And then, you see, we become Essenes. We're able to walk with God. They were called physicians and healers, and they weren't. They were individuals who had dropped human concept so that God could reveal God where they stood. Now, what quality can be missing from God? You can't find any. Not one quality can be missing from God. Do you have to pray for it if it's there? Isn't that prayer a denial that it is there? If you're asking God to bring it to you, you're saying it's not there. And so you're only suffering from your own ignorance of the fact that God's qualities are there, where you are. Not to be prayed for or to. Your supply. You don't pray for it. You don't ask for it. You accept that it is there. And it will not come through a person. You might as well forget expecting it to come through a person. Your health, it is there. It cannot come through a person. Everything you have desired that is of God is there, but cannot come through the person. For the person is making concepts, and the concepts can never be the expression of God. Mary learned not to be a person. Jesus learned not to be a person. John learned not to be a person. And there where they were, the expression of God made itself manifest as the fullness of their being. As long as you live in a human mind, you are a person. As long as you live in a human mind, you will live in a human body and a human world. When you have graduated from the belief that there is another mind beside God's mind, you will relinquish the human mind by relinquishing its concepts. And so Joel's chapter on relinquishing concepts, erasing concepts, is the way to relinquishing the false sense of a human mind. God isn't going to multiply your tax forms for you and tell you how much to pay or not to pay. God isn't going to ring up your cash register and make change for your customers. But you won't be doing that forever either. And God will still be here when that cash register is in the junk pile and when there are no more income tax forms to make out. And you'll discover that the person making out the income tax form and the person ringing up the money on the cash register isn't God's creation. There's no need to be that individual. In this world, you will not find God. In this body, you will not find God. With this mind, you will not find God. And yet it is your destiny to find God right where you are. That incredibly miraculous God experience is what we're here for. The experience of the infinite presence which enables you to be a beholder of the infinite grace can never come to you until you're willing to accept God on God's terms and not to remake God in your own mental image. God is not withholding your health, your supply, or anything that is necessary to your existence. It is present. Now, when you want to be independent of the conditions of the world, it follows that you can only do this if you are independent of the form which depends on the conditions of the world. Everything you're doing as a human being is being done with the belief that this form must be over there, or this form must be over here, or this form must wear such and such a suit or such and such a dress. This form must have such and such a meal. And so we become victims to the appetites of the form. So the form becomes drunk. The form becomes thin. The form becomes stout. The form becomes addicted to this, that, or the other thing. Every form of addiction is our way of denying that we are the invisible spirit. We are letting the form and the mind which runs that form tell us that we are separated from God. In other words, we're not facing facts. We want our cake and we want to eat it. We want God, but we want to be happy mortal beings. And you cannot. If you want God, you must renounce the mortal self. And then let the divine experience express as it will. And then you will be walking in the invisible kingdom while the world sees you in the flesh. It would be rather foolhardy to come to a place in which we talk about the rising Christ, the infinite way, the great achievements shown forth upon the earth by those who were liberated from form, and then we back away and say, I'm not going. The change is not in God, the change must be in us. And when we break the law of mind, which cripples us, which makes us old, which makes us feeble, which makes us tired, and see there's no mind there and no law at all, we break the world consciousness of old age, of bodies not created by God, growing older and dying. And we see instead that there was a place where through spiritual evolution every person had an opportunity to rise into the form that is never old and never dying. And we, having learned from the mistakes of others, are ready to do that. There were no old people among the Essenes. They were only old in years, as humans talk, but not in body. And the ailments they healed were not within their own ranks, but for those outside their ranks who needed help. They literally were the living light of the Father. Having cut them out of the Bible by a change here and a change there, the state which tried to control religion then proceeded to sell its watered-down brand. And so we got the adulteration of spiritual religion, of spiritual living. We got the literal, flat-footed interpretation about God. And the world has suffered for it. And our biggest problem probably is because we've got to unlearn all of the problem-conditioned things that have come into this world through that great and monstrous blunder. We have become problem-conditioned. We wake up thinking, now what problem is there going to be today? Instead of knowing, every problem is an illusion. We throw away the pages of history. And in the inner of our consciousness, we have accepted the Christ. We let the Christ grow now, till I'm identified as that substance, which is the essence of God. The essence of God is the Essene. From this sprang Christ consciousness, which we are learning about. When you have reached a level where you have nothing to defend against, you have accepted that only the Spirit of God is present. And then, in its subtle ways, in its miraculous ways, the outer picture is changed. That which was stolen reappears. That which you were missing is no longer missing. That which you had needed is either fulfilled or the need disappears. The moment you have accepted that all that is here is God, in spite of every appearance, only God will express in your experience. We're reminded here, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his corrections. It takes time to develop this standing fast, and there must be the chastening. Joel used to say he lost two fortunes. It built up again. He lost his health quite a number of times. It came back again. Always, the initiation is to stand in your own essence and let it do all the work, while you resolutely refrain from any concept about the good of it or the bad of it, knowing the fullness of God is present, doing its job, and that is your responsibility. From that, the chastening takes effect, the spiritual muscles are built, you find the power of grace is dependable. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son on whom he delighteth. So we are the children of the Father, willing to be corrected, and that correction is, accept my presence as thy presence. Abide in me. Let me abide in you. Fear not the pestilence, fear not any appearance or condition, for in that fear you deny everything that you want. Out of those million cancer cases that go every year, whoever stands in the knowledge that I, the Spirit, is the only reality here, discovers that the mortal flesh is not subject to the world in the presence of the realization of God. Really, we do see some interesting and fascinating things in that direction, where terminal cases nothing more than the judgment of the human mind. Denying the allness of God. And that perpetuates conditions which are not there. When you see it in one or the other, you realize this is the truth of every appearance. Concept. Change your concepts by emptying out. Acknowledging is the only prayer which discovers grace is the only activity and God is the only presence. No matter what happens today in the visible world, only God is here and only God will be here, and as I stand in that, only God for me will manifest. One of the men who wrote about the Essenes was Philo, P-H-I-L-O. Philo was considered one of the seven great spirits of this world because he actually was a teacher of Paul at one time. He did a lot to bring together all the ancient Hebrew writings. And in studying Philo a little bit, I discovered something rather interesting to me. His book was called The Contemplative Life. And if that coincidence wasn't enough, he wrote a second one called Every Virtuous Man is Free, which to me is very much like a title by Joel Goldsmith called Man Was Not Born to Cry. Every Virtuous Man is Free. And then, of course, the third interesting coincidence was that if Joel Goldsmith was Paul at one time, here's Philo writing a book, The Contemplative Life, back there among the Essenes. I haven't read his book because I haven't been able to locate it yet. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised to find some things in it that are in this very book we're studying, The Contemplative Life. That's approximately 1,900 years apart. Next time we'll see the marriage of Mary and Joseph and the child born of that marriage and the meaning of the Immaculate Conception. But it's necessary for us to look at that Immaculate Conception not from the standpoint of mortal beings, but from the vision of those who dwell as spiritual beings, so we can understand that we, too, are to be immaculately conceived in the image and likeness by our own release of concept. If there are any questions on what we've discussed today or any difficulty in carrying them out, let's have a little talk privately on it, because it's important for you to be able to stand in that place where you're not questioning God's existence as the only, where you're not fooled by the activities of the world around you, even by the close proximity of the things that deny that presence. There's a place where you can stand, and that's the only place where grace functions. Remember now, whatever happens, God will still be here. Thanks very much.